This theme of imprisonment has kind of been around in the Gospels for the last few weeks. And here we had John the Baptist in prison. I think I've been sort of affected by the fact of Nelson Mandela's death and knowing that he spent so many years in prison and yet didn't lose that hope in the freedom that God was to bring to a nation. Whether he identified that as God or not, I'm not sure. But certainly we see the action of God in his life in the face of great difficulty, great oppression, great darkness, and also evil. And yet, in the face of that, he had this enduring hope. There's a Cardinal Francis Nguyen who was imprisoned by the Viet Cong. And we see a similar story in him. But he came to this place where he was held in solitary confinement and being taken away from his archdiocese and the people he loved and given this gift, as he reckoned, one of those hierarchical gifts we talk about in the church, one of the charisms, to be able to lead and to be a shepherd. He didn't feel that he was expressing that, because how could he from a solitary confinement cell where there was just a small sort of opening underneath the door that was locked and a small window. And what ran past his door each day was the tract for the sewage under his door. And he'd have to sometimes place his face under the door to get air, so you could imagine. And in his great distress, one day he asked the Lord, "What use am I? You know, you called me to be a shepherd of your people, and here I am locked away. What use am I?" You know, the darkness of despair and depression weighed upon him, invaded his heart and his spirit. He had no hope, no joy. And in that moment, he heard the Lord say, "You are where I want you to be." And in that moment, he surrendered. "If, Lord, this is where you want me to be, then this is where I will bloom and give glory to you." John the Baptist surrendered to Jesus. He wasn't the Messiah. He knew clearly his gifts. He knew his charism. He knew his call. He was not the Messiah. Clearly his call was to point the way, to identify the Messiah, and he wasn't all that clear, was he, about the Messiah, about Jesus. He had to send his disciples from prison. He wanted to send his disciples somewhere. He wanted them to be with the Messiah, the coming Savior of the world. But he was expecting something different. He was expecting someone who might come with military power and authority and crush those foreign powers and oppression. But no, instead, there was this one who was speaking, who was moving in the grace of God, who was the grace of God. He was opening the eyes of the blind. He was causing the deaf to hear. He was getting the lame to strengthen their limbs and to walk again. He was making the dumb speak. And he was preaching this news of liberation to those who were oppressed and lowly and enslaved, the poor, who even thought they were outside the love and grace of God. But Jesus was drawing them in. This is the Messiah. And so John was confused, because he was expecting that the Messiah would change the political situation, that he'd crush those foreign powers, that he'd set those people free who had been enslaved and were benefactors and relied upon, you know, the goodness of the rich to employ them or even enslave them. And yet, he couldn't see a big shift or reform in political change, because Jesus came to transform the heart. We know so well, don't we, that where countries have been liberated, have come out of great oppression and dictatorships, and they were close to the church under those dictatorships, and then when they were set free from those dictatorships, they also retreated back into the ways of the world. Churches that were full because they had a sense of the church walking with them in great, in the poverty of their freedom. And then when they received the freedom, they used it to freely take on the things of the world. They took on their own lordship and forgot the loving lordship of Jesus. John the Baptist was to be the herald to say that I baptize you with water, but the one who comes after me will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, with baptism of fire. In other words, he will give you his very spirit. God will share with you his very spirit. He won't give a piece of himself. He will actually share his very spirit with you. You will be filled with the Spirit of God. There will be no more any veil or separation. The Spirit of God will be given, breathed, poured out upon his people. So John was pointing to Jesus, but he was unsure. Jesus came in a surprising, unexpected way. The Messiah came as the humble servant with definite authority over the oppression over evil, that he set people free from demonic powers and structures that held them enslaved. And he placed with them in a hope that could never be suppressed, that could never be taken from them. Tonight, as we come to open up our lives to the Spirit, it's a moment of truth, as it is a moment of surrender, a beautiful gift of surrender, where we can come before the Lord and say, I can't change, but you, Lord, can change me. And often the Lord will change us in many ways. He will place all sorts of people and opportunities and circumstances and help around us. But sometimes we can be so locked in on our own ideas of how God will save me or heal me, so locked in and imprisoned by what I want God to do for me, that we lose sight of the openness of God's Spirit bringing the helps, the healing, and the liberation that we so desire. We can sometimes say we're just sort of imprisoned in one track, closed. And tonight is an opportunity to pray for the grace of surrender. What do we mean by that? The Spirit, no one can call Jesus Lord unless the Holy Spirit inspires them. You ever heard of that little story about the hitchhiker on the side of the road? He's hitchhiking on the side of the road, and this fellow pulls up and says, "Where are you going to, mate?" And he says, "Oh, I'm going down the track. Can you give us a lift?" And he says, "Yeah, hop in." And he said, he didn't move. He said, "Well, you can hop in the front." And still he didn't move. He said, "Well, what do you want? You want to drive the car?" He said, "Exactly." Give over the controls to Jesus. I actually had someone do that to me once. I was hitchhiking. And he pulled up and he said, "Do you like driving, mate?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Would you like to drive somewhere down the track?" He said, I said, "Yeah, that's fine." He said, "You want to do it now?" I said, "Yeah." And I picked up one of the brothers further down the track. Gave him a shock. So giving over the controls, you know, it releases a joy in our lives. You know, some people are really controlled. You're going to be set free because the Holy Spirit comes, that we might call Jesus Lord. Lord of everything. Lord of my past. Lord of my present. Lord of my future. Who worries about their future? Well, there are lots of people, eh? Just finishing exams. Lots of people changing jobs. Lots of people losing jobs. You lose a sense, eh? Of confidence in the future. Jesus is Lord of the future. He's the Lord of our minds, our bodies, our spirits, our hearts, all our relationships. our work? What do you like to control? Because he wants to set you free. Because that control is now imprisoning you. And he's saying, I want to let you out tonight. Open the door and let my spirit in. St. John of the Cross talks about, and St. Ignatius talks about, emptying out all that worry and fear and anxiety and depression and darkness so that I might be filled with the goodness of God, the grace of surrender to fill our hearts and minds. That's the grace offered to us tonight. That the work of the Spirit was very obvious. Jesus said, you'll know whether I'm the one who's sent. What do you see? Where do you see the action of God at work in your life? So the Lord comes to us just the way we are. Are you ready? Are you ready to open your hearts to the Lordship of Jesus? Are you ready to commit yourself to Him, to be emptied out of whatever it is you fiercely hold on control of? It causes great fear and anxiety and worry. To be able to say, Lord, I can't. Lord, save me. Come, fill me, renew me, strengthen me by your Spirit. Give me the gifts of your Spirit. So we open ourselves to the gifts of healing and wisdom and teaching and preaching and administration and helping. We need lots of help to grow this work of God at this Mass. That you might be released and know the gifts that God gives you.